Good morning. It is good to be here, and I trust that I'm not going to have my big head in the way. If I do, would you kind of get me to do this and other, and I'll step in somebody else's way. Would you turn, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Each time I speak, I'd like to let you know why I put the message together and the way we did it and the reasons for doing it. So in the next few minutes, it's a matter of why. What was the reasoning to put this together? It was before I got the phone call to come here for this day. And these are the thoughts that were going through my mind. What I've done here, when I was a teacher, I could take a computer like this. Now, back in those wonderful days of the in the early 90s, what I had was an overhead projector that you had over there, and we had a computer here, and you put this special machine on top of the overhead, and you can transfer your data from the computer to an overhead projector. Well, today they have these other animals now. And it has initials, and I have no clue what they are, but it's an Epson something. But anyhow, what they have done, or what we were able to do back there, is that if I wanted to know about you as a student, I could punch in the three letters of your last name and the first initial of your first name, and I could come up and I could tell you what you did in my room from grade 9 through grade 12. We taught 7 credits. So any of those credits, I could tell you where you were, what you got, and on the day that you did it. Now with that, I thought when I retired 9 years ago that I could use that, and this would be phenomenal to work with young people and to be able to present the Word of God through the same method that we were able to look at you as an individual, do it with Christ. Well, the Lord saw fit last November, as I was dreaming in a store, a computer store, looking at this machine and looking at this machine and saying, wouldn't it be wonderful? And the wonderful idea was $7,000. So that dream went right out to lunch. Because you see, for lunch, we have crackers and water. But anyhow, it was just not going to be the thing. So then the next step was, is that I went to turn around and walk away with my dream, and a young lady stood beside me and said, what are you doing? 4 years earlier, I had met her and at the school, at Calvary Christian School in St. Catharines, and she says, well, I was the AV person there. What are you wanting to do? So I explained to her I had gone down to a computer place, and they told me that the equipment I had was ancient, 7 and 8 years old, that it wouldn't work these wonderful new programs. The end result was, she said, I'd like to come up to your house and take a look at what you got. She came and she looked, and she said, well, if I spent $60, I could convert this to what you need. And she says, if your regular laptop, she says, well, I could do that for $90, I could convert that, and it'll do exactly. Now, you may have to wait for 2 days before it'll turn on, but she says, there's no problem there, it's a little slow. But beyond, I said, that fits me. So we said, that'll be just great, so let's try it. The end result was, is that she said, you don't need to buy this wonderful, big, powerful machine. She says, there's a new company just out that has an overhead projector, a projection system. Anyhow, the bottom line is, the Lord saw fit to take $1,500, and here we are this morning. We went away for a couple of days, and we just said, Lord, you need to guide us. You need to direct us where and what you want us to do. And being an auto mechanic, of course, I'm known a little bit about how to fix cars. We talk about cars a lot. And the Lord has closed that door 4 times a week, in some cases 6 times a week. We're speaking to the Awana clubs and the area Christian schools and the area Awana programs and club programs. And we've been really busy, and we've enjoyed that. So what I've done this morning is to present an eye visual of a message that's on my heart to you. Now, please don't take the attitude that this character talks to young people and to kids, and he's putting me in that category. We have attempted to upgrade this. Here is the first slide. I went through an inventory of pictures, and this picture caught my eye. The part of the reason catching my eye is I also spent some time with listening to what this new movie is all about, Passion. And I'm a sensitive guy, or I have difficulty with keeping my emotions under control, and I cry a lot. Nobody knows that except myself. I do it in the shower and that kind of stuff. But the thing is that I thought of, and I saw this picture, and it captured my attention. I think you know the caption that's here. It is Christ seeing Mary at the tomb. And she is unknowingly, or unknown in her mind, is that they have killed the one that she loves. She has not picked up the element yet that really what he was talking about, that he is risen, or he could have. And she's caught up in that love, in that affection, and there he is behind her. Well, that caught my attention. But that's not where my attention stopped. Because what I've been studying and working with is Peter. Now, Peter's my man. You see, Peter shot his mouth off a lot, and sometimes I do that too much, and I get myself in a jam. But I'd like for you, for first of all, to look at Matthew chapter 7 now with these thoughts in mind. We are going to go down to chapter 7, verse 13. And it simply says this, enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be who go in that way. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and hard is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Now would you please turn to Matthew 26. I create a scene now, as this slide has trying to present, is previous of this slide. Peter and the disciples are standing and watching Christ be arrested. And when he's being arrested, they all stand. And then, would you look at 26 and 56. 26, 56. The last half of the verse, or the last part of the verse, the last sentence. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The ones that said, we love you, the ones that have spent the last couple years with him, get up and they fled. Look at the next verse. And they that had hold on Jesus led him away. Now at the verse 58, I'm sorry, 58. But Peter followed him afar off. And that messed me up. My emotions took over, and I got caught up in the fact that the disciples as a group of men chose to flee, get away from it. And Peter was the kind of man that he stood afar off just looking. Now, can you picture that? Now, not close, afar off. But he wanted to see what was happening to Christ. But he didn't want to be notified by being known by an association with Christ. Don't put your hand up, but how many of you and I can fit that bill? And that's where I'm at. Oh, they invited me back to school, which was not the wisest thing to do. However, I'm back teaching now. They had a teacher who I had as a student in school as a student. Then he was a student teacher of mine, and he's been teaching for 18 years. And he had a breakdown, and they said, well, could you come in and fill in? I said, okay, I'll come in for a couple of days. Well, a couple of days now worked to June the 17th. So I really don't mind it. I don't mind it, but I'll tell you. It is that all of a sudden I realize again that I'm a Peter. I stand with my Christ in me, and I stand afar off. Would you turn now to Mark and turn to Mark chapter 16 Mark chapter 16. Now you have the visual idea in your mind of Peter standing afar off. Christ is now put on the cross. Christ is now, he died. He is now put in the grave. And Christ now, at this moment in Mark's comments, verse 7, verse 6, it would be the last half. Behold the place where they laid him. It is empty. Go back to the picture here now. It is empty. But go your way and tell the disciples, and what's the next two words? And Peter. Oh, Peter, you blew it. And you know, there's one of the books in the New Testament there that in the Gospels, they tell how Peter, realizing what he did, he wept bitterly. Now, how many times have you and I been in that state that we've done something against Christ? We never stood up for him. There's a whole variety of things. And then you recognize what you did about it. And you cried a little bit within yourself. But here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ, the first thing that he thought of when he rose from the grave is to tell Peter I love him. Everyone that's in this audience this morning, you have messed up royally. Maybe you messed up a wee-dee-teeny-weeny bet. Maybe you messed up. There is no chance for me. Read the words. Jesus says, I love you. You messed up again. And Jesus' response is, I love you. The thing about life is that sin has blackened the day. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, sin is involved, and sin just makes it dark and black. But the wonderful thing of Jesus Christ, he says this, in that blackness, my desire is to bring out the beauty that is in you. Sin that is in you is covering what Christ is trying to bring out of you. But because of that sin, it's black. And no one sees it. And Jesus Christ says, listen, there's a hidden beauty in everyone that's in this room this morning. And Christ's desire is to ask you to get rid of that sin. Do you want to get rid of it so the beauty of Christ that's living in you can shine forward? That is where, and that's what got me here today. It is to talk about that beauty that's inside every one of us. And if you are a Christian, it is Christ living in, wanting to show himself outward. If you're not a Christian today, you're not a Christ one today, you are not saved, you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then he says, your life is full of sin. And what I want to do is I want to, Jesus Christ says, take that sin away and bring out the beauty that God has prepared that is in you. The one thing about that you and I have is this. It's a simple thing. That every one of us that are born again, that you have Jesus Christ in you. You have in you the light of the world. Do you understand that? Have you ever thought of it? That in you is the light. Ever been in a dark room? Take 20 people and put them in a dark room and one person has a flashlight. And when that flashlight goes on, everybody turns their back to it, right? No way. When a light comes on, every eye is drawn to it. So, this picture was taken of this, I think it's a beautiful scene, the calm waters, the mountains in the background, and an island sitting there. And There is one thing that Jesus Christ says, listen to me, an island I cannot be. Jesus Christ wants to live in you, and he wants to take that darkness out of your life, and he says, listen, I want you not to be an island, but what I want you to be is someone that can be used. And what are we training people today in school? You have your rights, your own rights. That is a teacher's point of view. If I have 22 students in the class, and if everyone individually had his own rights, do you realize the chaos in an auto shop? One decides to try and play with the grinder. One's going to operate the hoist while setting me up the arms. One's going to, I have my right to try to see if this car will raise without putting the arms in the proper spot. I have the right to stick my finger in that fan. I want to see. No, you see, we can't be an island. And Jesus Christ says, no, you're not an island. You say, listen, I'm on this road. I'm on this highway and beautiful scenery. In my life, it is good. But I have to ask you the question, is it all for Jesus Christ? In this moment, in this room, at this very second, is it to be said about you that everything that I'm thinking, that everything I do, it's all for Jesus Christ? Well, most of it. Well, yeah, because when I got up this morning, I gave thanks for my food, and yeah. Is that all? Giving thanks for your food? By the way, for you folks that are aware of this wonderful game that I play every morning with my Cheerios, is that I lost this morning. But when I got down to about 30 Cheerios in the bowl, I went to pick them up, and I picked up, you have to pick up five every time you lift a spoon. I picked up, and I was disappointed at the 30 that I only got four. But when I got it to my mouth, one was stuck underneath, and I said, yes! I was so happy about winning that spoonful, I only got three the next one. So I lost my game. But did I do it all for Christ? You see, when we're playing games and when we become serious, when we become right into the nitty-gritty of life, is it all for Christ? How many of you found that on your roadway, is this coming across reasonably well? How many of you found that in your life, you do not know what the next corner is going to be like? How many of you ever found that you don't know that the path that's in front of you, no one else has walked on it, and it's kind of scary? Like out in that bush out there, what is behind that tree? I mean, what is, the neat thing about that slide is this. I am going to go where Christ wants me to go. Where he sends, I'm going to go. And by the way, he doesn't say, because you were there yesterday. There are many things in our lives that he just simply says, go. Sometimes the pathway that we have, we just don't know where it is. It's really narrow. It is really, I'm not sure. Because right over there is heavy bush. I'm afraid. What is my given pathway and the choices that I need to make? I want to spend a few minutes talking about those. You older ones that are over 50 some odd years old, you will recognize this little presentation here of perhaps the two roads and two destinies. Does anyone happen to know about this? Whoops. A long time ago, the gentleman put together that life is made up of this, two roads, two destinies. And that is too much for a simple guy like me. So we decided to break it down. And I'd like in the progression now to come with me about the two roads and two destinies. On this here, the Bible states that there comes a time when we're born. Whatever your date is, on the left-hand side where the arrow was pointing is the day that you were born. The progression of what that broad way is and the person at the bottom is where you are in life. Perhaps you're 13 years old. Perhaps you're 12. Perhaps you're 86. Perhaps you're 27. It makes no difference. There's a point when you were born and the life that you live is where you are on that diagram. And then, of course, there's a point onto man wants to die. But that slide there simply shows this. The slide is showing this, that Psalm 51 and 5 says that we were born, and we were born in sin. When we were born in that sin, then we were born in sin. You can't play with that and say, well, yeah, but I'm different. But I wasn't as bad as. No. Don't get into categories. Don't get into evaluate. We were born in sin. The next thing we find out is that we live in sin. And when today we live in sin, I would never ask you, but I'm sure that each one of you could look back just in the last 24 hours, something that you did not live up to God's standards in. Nothing big. God just said it wasn't up to my standard. It's called sin. The next thing that we do is we practice it. You look in a congregation like this, you always have someone that will look back and say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. If you only knew. God says, and? That's not the issue. The issue is the individual that God is concerned about. Matthew 7:13, he calls that the broad road. We just read it a few minutes ago. Hebrews 9:27 says, This is for us younger ones, right? We sit here and get our heads to work. It is appointed unto man once to die, is the King James way of saying it. You see, there's going to come a time when this life has ended. And there are many that say that when I die and death occurs, so I'm dead. There is nothing to worry about on the other side. What's the second half of that verse? But after this, the judgment. And what is the judgment that lays down for us by God for anyone that lives on that broad road and comes to the point of death and dies? The body will go to the grave and the soul of you, the real you, will go to hell. There are no options. God says, if you die on that road, you will go to destruction. That place is hell. Now, I tried to figure out how long eternity was. And I went up in the books at the school and I found out that eternity lasts. It is beyond the biggest number that man has ever put together. And that biggest number, I think I showed it to you the last time I was here, if I remember correctly, it has 39 sets of zeros. Three sets of zeros. 3, 3, 3. 39 of those sets with a one in front. And don't ask me how to say the word, because I have no clue. Go past the word I, and I get confused, because you can spell it two ways. I'm going to ask you right now to stop. I'm going to ask you to stop and evaluate one simple thing. Are you on this broad road? If you are on this broad road, I want you to stop, and I want to encourage you as much as I can is to get off it. Now, I have no authority to get you to get off it, but I'm going to ask you this. I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention that this road is death. But Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ says, I am the only exit off this road. I am the only entrance to another way. And Jesus Christ says, I am the door. You cannot get off that broad road without going through Jesus Christ. And you said, I've heard that song and dance before. It's not a song and dance. It's the truth. It is fact. Jesus Christ says, listen, if you look at those people, I'm not sure how it'll come clearly to those at the back, but you got better eyesight than I have. But the people that are showing on here, one man stands at the door and he's thinking about making a decision. One man is still in the same way on the broad road and he is walking to death. And at the point of death, he will be in hell when he dies. Look at the pack sack on his back. Look at the cane that's in his hand. Everyone in this world needs a crutch, a cane for support to live, because you have nothing else but yourself to survive. You have the burdens of sin on your back and it's loading you down. And Jesus Christ says, I am the door. There's a choice for you to make. Yes, the choice is I can stay on this road, and being on that road, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to listen to what you're saying. I don't need Jesus Christ, because it's really not true what you're saying. This book here is not true. I have kids at school that are telling me that. That's for church. That's for the old people. No, it's for everyone. And Jesus Christ says, you can stay on that road. But what he also says, I want you to change destinations. And it's through Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, I have provided a narrow way. I have provided a way of life. And will you please come? In love, his arms are open wide this morning for you to say, Jesus Christ, will you wash my sins away? And if there's meaning behind what you say, if you have the element of truth within yourself saying, I believe, Jesus Christ said, done. This narrow way, what is it? According to Matthew 7:14, it is a narrow way. There are few that find it, but it leads to life. And I have a riot thinking about this, because when I pinch myself, I say, ouch. I mean, there's an element when you're alive and you pinch yourself or take a hammer and bang your hand, there's a little message that goes up from the hand up to the brain that says, mouth, respond, ouch. This hurts. From that result, I say, alive. There's an element that when we would take a corpse, a body that is dead, there is no living source in it. It is dead. You can hammer it all you want. You can pinch it, and there will be no response. Ouch. See, the thing is, having Jesus Christ living inside us, we have life. The choice is mine. And of course, I have to ask, what is your choice this morning? What is the narrow way? This person has accepted Jesus Christ. He is no longer on the Broadway. That door, you cannot go back through it. Jesus Christ says, I am your security. I am the truth. If you come to me, I will not cast you out. He also says that once you are saved, according to his standards, you cannot be lost. You cannot go back to the Broadway. Oh, I want that kind of confidence in my life. I want to have that in my life. Let's just quickly go through them. We have the speed production here, and we're going to be here till 12:30, 1:30, about 2:30. Here we go. John 10 and 9. I just got a frown and not a smile. Okay. John 10, 9. He simply says that I am the door. That door is the salvation. That door says that I died on the cross for your sins. And because I met God's standards, you have a free pass to heaven. Because Jesus Christ's blood was shed for me, I have a door to heaven. He also says, listen, Wendell DeVries, you have a heart's door. or a soul door. And Jesus Christ says, listen, because I died on that cross, I can make that black heart white as snow, sinless. Will you let me do it? So there is a door to my heart. And there's no outside handle, there's only an inside handle. And I'm the one, you're the one that has to say, Jesus Christ, come in. Wash my sins away. There's also a door to your whole house. I use the perhaps, I trust, you don't really consider too much of a silly illustration, but that is you. And I can invite you to my home, but I'll also tell you, when you walk in the front door, get your shoes off. When you walk into my house, you don't go into the living room. I got good rugs in there. This is one area of my house that I don't allow anybody. That's down the basement in my workshop. That's mine. Don't you touch those tools. Are you in my house? Yes, you are. Are you in my house? No, you're not. You see, I truly believe that in the Bible it teaches in Revelations where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking about coming into you from the outside. He's talking about wanting into every room of your house. Now I ask you, you Christians, you born again ones, is Jesus Christ walking into every part of your house? He's in your talking. He's in your walking. He's in your friendship. He's in your dressing. He's in every part of your whole being. Or do you stand here today and you can find in the top right corner of that house, that sex is mine, and he doesn't belong there? Young people, when you're dating, here is something I think is phenomenal. When you're dating, will that young man walk up to that young lady and he'll put his hands into her hands and he'll look her straight in the eye? Girls, if he won't look at you straight in the eye, run. He looks her straight in the eye and he says, my responsibility is to present you pure unto the Lord. And she's going to turn around and she's going to look at him and says, I'm going to let you. Do you have a relationship like that? Girls, you're going to do some high-oh hunting to find a guy that will do that with you. But find them. Husbands and wives, you've got a young families that are here. How about your life? Because the way in which you control your house, your children will see which room you're not giving over to the Lord. They will see it. You don't have to tell them. They'll see it. John 10:11. I am the shepherd. I've given myself in a sacrifice for you. Jesus Christ says, I gave my whole life for you. Wives, your husband say the same thing? The elders of the assembly. And don't look at it, don't think now about an elder in this assembly. Because men and women, we are to conduct ourselves as we were to be elders. Leadership. My focus is Jesus Christ. I give myself for you. All we like sheep have gone astray, right? Here she, what are they doing on a highway? Well, I got a question for you. What are you doing going down the road that you're going down if it's not for Christ? We all like sheep. And Jesus Christ says, I understand this picture is from Israel where it is an actual one that goes back to many years. They say on this it goes back more than likely 3,000 years ago. I don't know how they know that, except to say in the top center corner, notice the doorway. Everything else kind of falling apart. But Jesus Christ says, as your shepherd, I will be at your doorway of whatever it is. I want to guide you. I want to protect you. I want to be there for you. And I want you in my fold. John 6:35 says this, I want to be bread. I am the bread of life. And I'm wondering what that means. This morning when you got up, did you have breakfast this morning? I had Cheerios. But I'm going to ask you, did you have some bread of life this morning? They tell me my body's made up of my body, my soul, mind, and spirit. And a third of me is the spiritual side of me. Did I feed it this morning? Jesus Christ says, listen, I am the bread of life. Now, did you take something of Christ this morning? Did you read your Bible? That is the bread of life. It's the words of God given to you and I, and when we open that and we start to read it, we literally, spiritually are eating it. Isn't that neat? Personal. I go to the fridge to get all my wonderful food. And of course, the spiritual food is that Bible, right? We have a steak dinner. By the way, this is from New York City. And this right here is from New York City. And they say that if you want to come, it's $129 a plate. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When you open this book and you take a meal, you take a study of Jesus Christ, it's priceless. Will you study him? And you say, well, I don't have time. Well, just take them as a snack. Just take 12 seconds. Take 20 seconds. Take 2 minutes. And just open the Bible and take a snack. It's amazing how that snack carries you through. Isn't that true? Physically? Don't tell me you don't have time to read your Bible. John 8:12 says this, I am the light. The light is splendor. It gives light. Jesus Christ says, listen, I'm a lighthouse to you. I want to show and I want to guide you the way to salvation. He says this, I'm a light unto your feet. I want to be that light. And he also says that while you're doing whatever you want to do, I want to be the light in every part of your whole life and your whole being. John 14:6 simply says this, I am the way. It is called a special person, a special way. And that special way, we saw this slide already before, and that special way, that roadway, that pathway, the life way has been made specially for you. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way. In John 14 says, he also says that I am the truth. And he is satisfaction. And I have to ask the question, what would be your satisfaction? I love the sounds of a creek. Or a little river going over rocks, and it just seems to soothe. Now take that picture, and where do you have satisfaction, that contentment with Jesus Christ? Lock it in your mind. Now, grab it. What would it be? Also, he says, I am life. He says, I am the surety of life. And I'm going to ask you the question. Fill in a picture for your point of view, what the surety of life that Jesus Christ has given you. You got one? John 11:25, he says this, I am the resurrection. I am the security. And what would that security be? Jesus Christ says. He says, because I raised from the dead, because I am not in the grave, I have gone to heaven, I am there. And he simply says this, is that I'm waiting for you. I love that security. That I will, one day, I will be raised up, and I will be with Christ for eternity. John 15:1, he simply says this, that I am the vine, which is the source of my whole life. What is that source? He says in the illustration he's using there, and I just picture him walking past a grape orchard, if you like, and he's drawing this out to his disciples and to the people that are around him, and he says, listen, I am the vine. You're the branches. And God is the husbandman. God is the owner. He simply says this then, that there is Jesus Christ, there is me, and there is God. Now I have a question for you. If I'm living in the vine, I'm in Jesus Christ, and God is the farmer, I have a question for you. What are the tools and the people that God is using to prune you, to put you to where he wants, so you will bear fruit that he's looking for? Did you get all that? If God is the farmer, the one who owns, He has the right, and he knows how exactly to put things together. And he says, what my job is I know exactly where to prune, I know exactly how to prune, and I know exactly what you don't need. Now, this is tough. I'm going to use an illustration that I cannot and have not lived yet. I've been dating my wife since she's been 13 years old. And I, hey, when you get a hold of some quality stuff like this, you don't let go. But I tell you, there's going to come a day, and we talked about this, that one of us, God's going to take home. And he's going to take that one home, one of us, and he's going to take, let's say, her home. And I'm going to look at God, and I'm going to say, God, why did you have to prune her from me? And God says, I have a perfect reason why. Choke. But it's fact. Why did God choose to take my dog away from me when I was 10 years old? And why was it that was my pet? He was the one I talked to. He's the one I played with. He's the one everywhere I went. And God took him away from me. And God says, I know, but I did it for your and my good. Oh. God says, I don't do things that are against you. I do things because, listen, if I don't prune you, your vines will grow. Branches will grow. And the leaves that will come off will be small and puny. And when the grapes come off, they will be worse yet. But if I prune you correctly at the right time, at the right spot, what I'll do is you will grow healthy the way I want you to grow. He says, listen, as you grow, these leaves and the fruit will grow. And as it grows, he says, you will bear fruit. God's fruit, not what you think, but what God thinks. And then God goes one step further and he says, but you also could bear much fruit. Oh, that's exciting, isn't it? Now, by the way, excitement isn't with phenomenal enthusiasm and jumping all around. God made you a nice, quiet, soft person. Be that person. But be enthusiastic the way God made you for him. This ought to be fun. Because we've got another 84 slides, and we've got 2 minutes. Let's go. In the prime of life, in the senior part of our life, can we simply say, because of Jesus Christ, and what does Jesus Christ say? He says, listen, in our senior part of life, because we've been in the Word more often, we can know and understand the purposes of God. We can understand God much better the older we get. So don't be mad because you're old. Enjoy it. Jesus Christ says, listen, I'm the light. And because of Jesus Christ, I see with better understanding. The more you're in the Word, is that not true? So life has its ways of walking. And it's not a thrill. Sometimes it is scary. And Jesus Christ says, because of Christ, listen, I don't think you'll see this too well. I am the way, the truth, the life. Christ is my hope. Not the way the world defines hope, by the way, but the way God defines hope. Look it up if we didn't know what that meant. Ah, life is full of its valleys. Life has got its mountains. And yet, because of Christ, he's my shepherd. He guides me through no matter what. And I go with him because he is my shepherd. He is my guide. Whew. Yeah. Because of Christ. There are some steps that I got to climb, and wow, they are tough to climb. But because of Christ, I will make it. Through my eyes, as I look out at this world, and I look through the windows of my eyes, I see things. And when the guy looks at the girl, as he's seeing Christ, you see, the more mature the man is in the Word of God, the more he will see a beautiful woman that God has made, and he will never step out of line with her. No matter what, look through Christ when you look out. It's all because of Christ. Is this you today? You haven't been pruned, and you've been fighting pruning. And it just irritates you, but you know, because of that, the fruit. God says, listen, my desire is you to grow much fruit. He wants to take something in your life and he wants to go. And I ask the question, will you right now be able to say something that's in your mind? I don't know what it is, but there's something in your mind and you've been challenging God about it. And will you be able to right now just close your eyes and say, I thank God for. He took something away on you. He gave you something. There's something in your life that's just not going the way you want it to go. And will you give it to Jesus Christ and thank him? Here's life. I still think that picture is beautiful. I think that picture shows me an awful lot of things, but I want to go through it and just simply show this. Jesus Christ, thank you for being the door.